We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
We're going to talk about the prodigal son's older brother. Luke chapter 15, I want to begin in verses 1 and 2. Luke 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all of the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, as a result of this, Jesus is reaching out to those who are lost, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious teachers of that day, began to complain about it, and they were murmuring. And so, as a result, Jesus spoke three parables to the people. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep, the second is the parable of the lost coin, and the third one is the parable of the lost boy, the prodigal son. I want you to notice now in verse number 11, where he begins this parable of the lost boy. It says, And he said, A certain man had two sons. We observe that the younger son in this parable, the one who left home, was representative of these publicans and these sinners. They were children of God, they were Jews, but they had left home. They had gone astray, they had ceased to be faithful to God. Now the older son in the parable is going to represent the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of this day. And it very accurately depicts, this parable very accurately depicts the attitude that they had toward their brother Jews who had gone off into the far country of sin. You're going to see the disdain as we go through here. Now first, I want to look at the actual Pharisees and scribes, and then we're going to look at the parable. So notice verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners. You can almost hear the self-righteous indignation in their voice when they said it. They said, This man receives sinners, distinguishing him from them. He was doing something they would not even think about doing, and that is receive sinners. And when they make this statement, he's receiving sinners, you can see the intense scorn that they had for sinners. Now, being the religious leaders of the day, what would you expect them to do? You would expect that they would feel deep concern for sinners. You would expect that they would be actively trying to help people who were sinners. But that's not the case. Rather, what we find is a class of people who turned up their noses at sinners. And they felt like they were above them. They felt a strong disdain toward them. Now, I want you to watch as we go through the lesson tonight and see if you can see the parallel between the elder brother and between the scribes and the Pharisees, because that's who Jesus is talking about when he paints the picture of the elder brother. Beginning in verse 25. Of course, this is after the prodigal son has come home. There's a great celebration. The father is so happy. He says, go and get to kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a celebration. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And verse number 25, Now his elder son was in the field. And he came and he drew nigh to the house. And he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, what is it that we are to learn from the elder brother? Obviously, it's not the same thing that we're to learn from the younger brother. Because the younger brother left home, but the older brother stayed. The younger brother was riotous and wasteful. The older brother stayed home and he worked. The younger brother took his inheritance and he spent it all. The older brother didn't do it. In fact, so far, the older brother sounds pretty good, doesn't he? You think, well, he stayed home, he didn't run off, he wasn't wasteful. But what we're going to find is this is not the case. The older brother had a problem. He wasn't engaged in things that were openly, outrageously sinful that you could see, that were obvious, but he had sin of a different type. He had sin that was harder to see. You see, he had sin that was in his heart. Now remember, the older brother typifies the scribes and the Pharisees. And although they may not have been drinking and carrying on with prostitutes and they weren't a part of the rowdy crowd, still their hearts were not right with God. And if we're going to make a modern application to this parable, the story of the elder brother here is a parable to us. It is a lesson to those of us who sit in the pews. It is a lesson to those of us who may be present at each and every service of the Lord's church. And although we may not be engaging in open, obvious sin, we may not be publicly engaging in drinking and gambling and running around half naked and in public and otherwise promoting the sins of the world, it may be that I still have a problem in my heart that makes it such that I am not right with God. So I want for us to look at the story of the elder brother, and I want for us to identify his problems, and then I want to make application to help us. What was the problem with the elder brother? Here's the first problem. Number one, it's from verse 27, and that is, he had a lack of love. Notice verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. The servant tells him, your brother who was lost is now found. This was a cause for great rejoicing. But he didn't have any joy. Instead, verse 28 says, he was angry. Why no rejoicing? The conclusion we draw here is he had a lack of love for his brother. He wasn't rejoicing because he didn't love his brother. He evidently could care less that his brother was gone. As a matter of fact, it's a nuisance to him that his brother has come back. He had not lost a moment's sleep knowing that his brother was lost. Now, is that an accurate description of the scribes and Pharisees? Absolutely. You remember verse 2 of this chapter? When Jesus reached out to the lost, the scribes and Pharisees said, this man receives sinners. They were scornful. They were disdainful. Now, a second question, a more pertinent question might be, is it an accurate depiction of us? Do we have a lack of love for our brethren who are lost? Do we love them? Does it bother us? Have we lost a moment's sleep because of our brethren who have gone back into sin? When this older brother, when we look at him, what we see is not only, listen to this, not only a lack of love for his brother, but don't you think we also see a lack of love for his father? Because at a time when his father is rejoicing because of his son who has returned home, what does he do? He says, I'm not going in the house. I'm not going in there. Look at verse 28. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. This man showed a lack of love for his brother and an extreme lack of love for his father. And you know what? If we apply this story to modern-day Christianity, when a man doesn't love his Christian brother, you know what the Bible says? Automatically, he doesn't love the Lord either. I wonder when we're going to get that lesson. 1 John 4 and 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, we are fooling ourselves if we say, oh, I love God, but then I have hatred toward my brother. We're going to break the gates of hell wide open, because you can't hate your brother or not love your brother and love God. Here's the first lesson from the elder brother. He had a lack of love for those who were lost. Here's the second lesson. He had a problem with envy in his heart. Now you say, why do you say that? Look at verses 26 and 27. He called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said, thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. He said, the fatted calf has been killed. Now what's his reaction? He doesn't say, well, that's great. I'm so glad he came home. Instead, in verses 29 and 30, he says to his father, you never gave me a kid. You never killed the fatted calf for me. You killed the fatted calf for him. You never did that for me. He had a real problem with envy. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, envy is really just another sin against love. He had a problem with love because 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love does not envy. But when a person has a problem with envy, rather than loving other people, it views other people as competition. Sometimes envy will tear families apart because maybe a brother or a sister is more successful than the other sibling, and rather than being happy for them, envy causes deep-rooted feelings of anger and jealousy and resentment. Envy feels hurt at the good fortune of others. And so his brother has come home. This is a good thing. And so his father throws a celebration. What does he do? He says, he never did that for me. He feels resentment because of it. Envy makes me want to have to do better than other people. It makes me want to have more than other people. Well, look at the result of this elder brother's problem. Verse 28, he was angry. Number 2, he would not go in. And number 3, verse 30 says he slandered his brother. When his father came out, he said, "But as soon as this, thy son," he doesn't call him my brother. He says, "When thy son has come, you, the one who has devoured your living with harlots." Whether it's true or not, he took an opportunity to take a jab at his brother. He had a problem with envy. He had a problem with jealousy. And it manifested itself. You know, when a man has problems of the heart, they come out in his life. He had a problem with the lack of love. He had a problem with envy. You can't see either one of those because those were in the heart. But you see the reaction of it. You see the result of it. How did it manifest itself? Number 1, in anger. Brethren, let me tell you this. Anger is a very dangerous emotion. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. You've got to be careful when you get angry because it may lead you into sin. That's why James tells us, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James 1:19. It manifested itself in anger. Secondly, the problems in his heart manifested themselves in hatefulness. Verse 28, he would not go in. He was pouting. He was showing himself. I'm not going to go in there. I'm not going to welcome my brother. It reminds me of what takes place sometimes in the church. Because sometimes in the church, brothers and sisters in Christ will get mad at each other and they harbor malice in their heart and they won't even speak to one another. And yet they come and sit and think that their worship's acceptable to God. Sometimes people just quit the church. And like the elder brother and like the scribes and the Pharisees, they are oblivious to their own sin. They think they are completely innocent. The elder brother had a problem in his heart. He had a lack of love. He had envy. And it manifested itself in anger, in hatefulness. And number 3, through his words. He was slandering his brother. Now, why did he do that? Why did he bring up this comment about his brother wasting the inheritance on harlots? Was it because of a sincere concern for his brother? It wasn't. Was it because he was really concerned about his father's inheritance? It wasn't. He was angry, he was lashing out, and he was slandering his penitent brother. This man sinned, whether or not his statement was true or whether it was false. And here's the reason. Because the intent of his heart made it wrong. I might say something about a brother in Christ that's very hurtful, and it be a true statement, and still be wrong in the eyes of God because my motive was wrong. Because you see, the Lord cares about my heart. And I can say things that are true all day long, but I do it in a hurtful manner and be wrong in the eyes of God because of it. What do I want to learn from the older brother? I learn about his lack of love. I learn about his envy. But here's a third thing. Here's a third problem he had. He had a problem with self-righteousness. Would you agree with that? Self-absorption. Look at verses 28 and 29. He was angry. He would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. Now, listen to him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo," tell me if this sounds self-righteous. "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I thy commandment at any time." That's what he said. "I have never transgressed your commandment." It's very interesting, too. He begins listing all his fine traits. "Lord, Father, I've done all these things. I've been faithful to you. I haven't gone anywhere. I have always done what you said to do." And verse 29, he says, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee." It's interesting in the original language because the word he uses here in the Greek for serve is the word that is indicative of a slave. The idea seems to be, "I've served you with resentment." Now, remember, the elder brother is a picture of the scribes and Pharisees. Are you seeing a parallel? Listen to verse 29 again, then I'm going to read you another verse. "And he answering his father said, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither have I transgressed at any time thy commandment.'" This is a picture of the scribes and Pharisees. Now listen to Luke chapter 18. The Lord there describes a particular Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18:10 says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, as extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" Might have even pointed over there when he said it. This man's patting himself on the back as he's standing there praying, and he says, "Lord, I'm thankful that I'm so righteous and that I'm not like other men are." Does that sound like the elder brother? Listen again, verse 29. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither have I transgressed thy commandment at any time, but your other son, he's devoured your living with harlots. You see what the problem was? He is so hung up on himself and about his own righteousness. He is so concerned about his righteousness that he's wicked. He thinks he's so righteous that he's got a corrupt heart. He didn't care about his lost brother. In fact, when his brother ran away, that might have given him something to gloat about. That made him look a little more righteous. You know, my brother's run off to a foreign land. I would have never done that. You think he brought that up to his father? You know, I would have never done that, Father. If you read about the Pharisee in Luke 18 and you read the history of the Pharisees, I guarantee you he did this. I mean, look at this. I'm good. I'm the good son. I would not have done that. He was so self-righteous. Now, what's a modern-day application of this? If we're going to bring this down to the church today, we look at Luke chapter 18, and you have this Pharisee who is saying, Lord, I am thankful that I'm not like that person. What's the application of this today? The application is when a person sits in services and they hear a sin preached on, and they think, oh, he has that problem. Oh, he's got that problem. She's got that. They think of everybody under the sun who has that problem, but they're not doing any self-examination. They're not thinking about their own heart. When I am oblivious to my own sins, but I see them in everybody else, it might be time for me to stop and learn a lesson from the elder brother. The elder brother said, I have done all of these fine works, but you never gave me a kid. I deserved it. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10? When we have done all those things which we are commanded, we ought to say we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. It is not that we are looking for praise. Now, it's good to encourage brethren. It's good to admonish them and teach them and to, when people do good things, to recognize those. But I'm not doing it for praise. It's not so that I can have the fatted calf. It's not so that everyone can recognize how righteous I am. And I need to think about my own motives when I do things. Am I doing it to serve the Lord, or am I doing it so people will think, boy, he sure is righteous? The attitude that I ought to have is I'm only doing that which is commanded me, and I am an unprofitable servant. Verse 31, And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, one of the most frightening things about this elder brother is that his sins are harder to see. Oftentimes, these type sins will mask themselves in righteousness. And sometimes people are blind to their own sins. Now, that's frightening to me, to think about the fact that I might have sins in my heart that aren't obvious, and that maybe I have blinded myself to them. And that's why we need to do some soul searching. That's why each of us needs to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith and whether we be righteous to the Lord. That's why on a daily and a weekly and a monthly basis, I need to spend time thinking about my own life, not my neighbor, but thinking about my own life and seeing if my heart is right. Because you see, if a person is out engaged in open, outrageous sins like the prodigal son, that's not hard to see. But the sins of the older brother are sometimes more easily masked. And I need to look at that and see if I might be the elder brother.